It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, we're making our way to the elevator. It's a spicy 37 degrees right now, so this should be quite a day. Also, the construction across the way, I can see that pretty good. We're almost there. If you want to chat during the show, you're free to do so. All you got to do is SSH into sdf.org and then launch com, C-O-M. Or you can also jump on Jabber. It's anonradio at conference.jabber.sdf.org and chime in. I'm sure somebody's there. I'm logged in, but I don't know if I've got my alerts on. We also have Matrix. I'm mnw:envs.envs.net. But anyway, let's launch com and see what's happening. I like to connect to tty.sdf.org. So let's see. Oh, we got a motorcycle sound. Oh, they're coming our way. Hey, it was White Shadow Guy. But White Shadow Guy is wearing gear now. I bet you he's a new motorcyclist who just didn't have the money for it. He's now got a long sleeve shirt on, gloves, and jeans. So good job, White Shadow Guy. You have improved yourself, improved your gear. All right. So, oh, my ZSH has been updated. Way to go. Give me a command prompt so I can type C-O-M and press enter. Control C. All right, there we go. You know what doesn't like? You know what Z Shell doesn't like? For you to abort its update process. Oh no. Crap. All right, we're going to hit Control C again. We're going to log out. Try again. Don't do what I did. If you say yes to an update, don't then force quit it or Control C it. That's a fool's errand. Don't do it. All right. And I got the... okay, there we go. This is, now we're cooking. Calm. Boom. Now we're in here hanging out with people like X1 and Overland, Quentin. Overland's in the house. Gerbil Fat's here. SBR being the topic. I do miss SMJ also. Gerbil Fat pointing out I miss SMJ playing. His Steiner is so cool sounding, and he's really good at it. there I am. Okay, cool. Gerbil Fat's in the business. Quentin's here, and the whole crew is around. Hey, welcome, welcome. X1, Ratsu, Jazzmaz, Jeff, F-Fog, anybody who's out there, welcome, welcome. I hope you enjoyed all the fun that was on and on radio this past weekend. Jeff here. Cool. Jeff's adding a small synth to the studio setup for the next SBR. SBR is Synth Battle Royale, and that happens on Friday nights during the open mic time slot, so at 0300 UTC on Friday nights. So if you have a synthesizer, an analog synthesizer, and would like to synth out with the guys, that's the time to do it. Oh man, so many people not using turn signals and turning wildly. You know what I did today? I took the bus. I got so tired of everybody's bad driving, I just took the bus. So, also this morning, as I was trying to catch the bus, I saw the bus coming and I was like, oh no, I better hurry to cross the street. And I went to run across the street. Well, wouldn't you know it, there's a curb there when you step down from the street. And I just, for whatever reason, totally missed it and just fell into the street. It was great. I landed on my left knee, so it's still kind of sore, but at least I can use it pretty good today. But I fell. My glasses fell off. My AirPod flew out of the case, and I was splayed out on the cement, on the pavement, and the light just changed, and all the cars were coming, and so it was wild. I grabbed all my stuff as fast as I could, and the cars politely stopped and yielded to me, the pedestrian who had fallen in the road. So I felt pretty lucky. I feel like I got my good luck charm for the day, you know? Anyway, it's 1908 UTC, and we haven't even started with the news, so we better get going, because there's a lot of news to talk about. A lot, I tell you. And I did the news twice. I did the news this morning when I got up, but I forgot to sync it on my desktop, so then I had to do it again when I got to work. All we gotta do is go over to Bookmarks, Desktop Bookmarks, Bookmarks Menu, and go to News to Me, and then pick September the 5th, 2023, because that's what today is. Not a lot of death and destruction, but there is a lot of news that'll be, it's interesting to me. First, just kind of a heads up, Jill Biden has COVID-19. U.S. First Lady Jill Biden tested positive for COVID-19 on Monday and is experiencing mild symptoms. The 72-year-old, who is vaccinated and has received boosters, will stay at home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, where she and President Joe Biden spent part of the weekend. The president tested naked. Naked is how we down here say naked. but Joe Biden tested negative for the virus on both Monday and Tuesday. He traveled back to Washington, D.C. on his own on Monday night. Mrs. Biden will remain in Delaware for the rest of the week. The president's 80 years old and will test at a regular cadence this week and monitor for symptoms, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said on Tuesday. He's not experiencing any symptoms so far and is in close consultation with his physician. He'll be masking while indoors and around people in alignment with CDC guidance. And as has been the practice in the past, the president will remove his mask when sufficiently distanced from others indoors and while outside as well. He's due to travel to the G20 summit in India on Thursday, before a scheduled visit to Hanoi on Sunday. And of course, that G20 summit has an interesting bit of news. Prime Minister Narendra Modi replaced the name of the country of India with Bharat. That's right. The government replaces India with a Sanskrit word in dinner invitations sent to guests attending this week's summit, causing an uproar. Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government has replaced the name India with the Sanskrit word in dinner invitations sent to guests attending this week's G20 summit, triggering speculation that the name of the country will be officially changed. Draupadi Murmu is referred to as President of Bharat instead of President of India in the invitation sent on Tuesday. India is hosting the summit in New Delhi on Saturday and Sunday, with many world leaders, including Joe Biden and Emmanuel Macron, attending. The nation of more than 1.4 billion people is officially known by two names, India and Bharat. That's Bravo Hotel Alpha Romeo Alpha Tango, B-H-A-R-A-T. But the former is most commonly used, both domestically and internationally. Hindustan is another word for the nation and is often used in literature and other forms of pop culture. Bharat is an ancient Sanskrit word that many historians believe date back to early Hindu text. The word is also used as a Hindi option for India. Officials of Modi's right-wing BJP party backed the change in nomenclature. They argue that the name India was introduced by British colonials as a symbol of slavery, or is a symbol of slavery. The British ruled India for about 200 years until the country gained independence in 1947. So I thought that was pretty interesting, because I always get a kick out of it anytime a country gives a big fuck you to a colonial power. But it's also just interesting what's going on there. Quentin knows all about missing that curb. Good. I'm glad I'm not alone. And you're right, Gerald Fett, Naked News Hour. It's very funny how that happens. Growing up in Texas, which is kind of south, it's got a mixed identity. But one of my babysitters was from Arkansas, which is definitely a southern place. And so when I was little, she used to talk all the time. And even though we would make fun of her sometimes, some of those words stuck around. And whenever I get angry or tired or whatever, it's always funny what words kind of come out more country than I realize. So Naked is one of them. Oh, man. I'm hearing multiple sirens. It sounds like an ambulance and either two fire trucks or an ambulance and a fire truck. It doesn't have that police tone to it. There's a gym on site, so sometimes people get hurt in the gym. Anyway, let's keep it rolling. There's a lot of news, not a lot of time. Germany has matched DNA from skulls stolen from African colony to living relatives. Remains pillaged in colonial era for scientific experiments are DNA matched to Tanzanian descendants. Researchers in Berlin have identified living relatives of people whose remains were stolen from Tanzania and taken to Germany for experimentation. Berlin's Museum of Prehistory and Early History has been carrying out research since 2017 on about 1,100 skulls taken from what was then known as German East Africa. The museum announced on Tuesday that DNA analysis had provided a clear link to living descendants. The relatives and the government will now be informed as soon as possible. The skulls are part of a collection of about 7,700 that were acquired by the museum from Berlin's Charité, C-H-A-R-I-T-E with the accent, a descending, an accent going to the left. Oh boy. Sorry, there was a car that was perpendicular to the flow of traffic for a moment. Now they don't have a turn signal on, but they are encroaching into the lane. Oh, they stopped just short. Another car coming up behind them, still no turn signal. Oh, they turned to the left, one of the most dangerous turns. No turn signal, turn to the far outside lane. Next car, still no turn signal. Oh, and another car behind them, no turn signal, not any of them. All right, he's going, moving, inching into the lane, into oncoming traffic, turning left. Final vehicle pulled up. Oh, they activated their turn signal. There we go. Way to go, guys. We did it. It's really cool. I think this is very cool because one of the things that's like horrible is that a lot of countries, I don't know. I don't think that we can have a lot of real healing until countries acknowledge all the pain and evil that they've caused. And doing stuff like this, going through these old skulls that you've collected and getting them back to their descendants. That's a real concrete, cool thing to do. All right, so We got 15 minutes. I'm not sure how much time it'll take me to talk about all this, so I'm skipping around. All these links, I'm going to start putting the show links all together in a one page again, like I used to, but I'm going to throw them up on the Lemmy site, lemmy.sdf.org. It's like, it's the federated Reddit kind of thing, clone kind of thing that exists. But if you go to lemmy.sdf.org, Lima Echo Mike Mike Yankee.sdf.org, that will, you'll see, I put yesterday's link up today, and I'll put this one up when I get back to my desk. Anyway, enough of that. Cuba uncovers human trafficking ring recruiting for Russia's war in Ukraine. Havana says it's dismantling networks seeking to recruit Cubans as mercenaries as Moscow attempts to boost its forces. Cuba uncovered a human trafficking ring aimed at recruiting Cubans, its foreign ministry has said, as Moscow seeks to increase the size of its forces. In a statement, the Cuban foreign ministry said the authorities were working to neutralize and dismantle the network, which it said was operating within the Caribbean island nation and in Russia. The Ministry of the Interior is working on the neutralization and dismantling of human trafficking network that operates from Russia to incorporate Cuban citizens living there, and even some from Cuba, into the military forces participating in war operations. Cuba has a firm and clear historical position against the use of mercenaries. Cuba is not part of the war in Ukraine. The foreign ministry did not comment on whether any Cubans joined the war as part of the trafficking ring, or if the ring had any connections to the Russian government. So, we'll see what happens, but I thought this was interesting that there was a human trafficking ring in Cuba bringing people around. Ooh, that's a nice car. That looks like a... Yeah. That's a... That was a Subaru WRX STI with a body kit on it and its badges removed. It was painted a bright red, not a cherry red, but a bright red. The spoiler was aftermarket and looked a little flimsy, but otherwise it looked pretty nice. And the engine sounded like they'd, at least the exhaust anyway, sounded like they'd worked on it a little bit. Let's see what's going on here. Yeah, exhaust sounds like an eBay exhaust. Good point, Gerbil Fat. Exactly. yeah, sorry, Gerbil Fat. It's one of those things. The people that drive around here, it just bug. I stand. The shady spot overlooks this intersection, and people don't negotiate it very well 90% of the time. So it's very entertaining to me because it's such a simple action. It's like watching people go through a revolving door wrong. Or like that it have trouble going in and out of a revolving door. That's, it feels like that level of intellect at work. And the farting tin can exhaust, it definitely, it had that, but it fit the car just right. It's like, it looked like it was an eBay special car. So somebody had a WRX, might have been an STI. It wasn't, I couldn't hear from here if it had a turbo or not, but it was... It was a WRX. It clearly had like this red, the color was intended to be red body kit. It's kind of like a hot orange maybe. Anyway, it was a cool, it seemed like it was a fun thing. Somebody had been working, put some love into it. So let's see, what else is here? Oh, let me talk about stuff that I thought was fun, not necessarily death and destruction, but it is still destruction. China's Great Wall has been damaged. You'll never get... this is great. A part of China's Great Wall has been severely damaged by construction workers in central Shanxi province who used an excavator to dig through it. That's right. This ancient, world-famous monument. The workers were just like, what's this old wall doing here? Let's tear a hole in it. Police say two people are suspected of trying to create a shortcut for their construction work. The two have been detained, and the case is under further investigation. The 38-year-old man and 55-year-old woman were working near the affected area, the 32nd Great Wall. They dug a big gap, quote, big gap, by widening an existing cavity of the Great Wall so that their excavator could pass through it. Police say they wanted to reduce the distance they had to travel. Police also stressed that the two caused irreversible damage to the integrity of the Ming Great Wall and the safety of the cultural relics. located in Yuyu country. The 32nd Great Wall is a section of the Ming Great Wall and is categorized as a historical and cultural site, which is protected at the provincial level. Officers were alerted to the damage on August 24th after receiving reports there was a huge gap in the wall. It's also a UNESCO heritage site, among other things. So let me see if I can get a... Oh, good. They have an image. Let me see if I can get it into COM for you. Shift L for link. Links are capital L. Then we go over here and we paste. Boom, it's a web P. Gonna have to deal with it. And then we put wall hole as the title. If you go to sdf.org/17y, that's sdf.org/Lima/17Yankee. It's sdf.org/L/17Y. L17Y. L/17Y. All right. But that'll show you the wall. Essentially, they took their excavator, knocked a hole out of the wall big enough to drive their excavator through it, and went on their way. And so it sounds like they either didn't know, or didn't care about this cultural thing. It's like, this is getting in the way of my work now. So anyway, I found that to be, it's just pretty wild. I thought that was pretty amazing that it was like, look, I'm going to destroy my own cultural heritage. It's not helping me right now. That's not the only thing that's causing trouble. Let me see. There was something else about China that I wanted to mention. Hey, buddy Eck down there. China had a couple of space... Oh, we've got a bunch of space news. It's already 1922 UTC, which makes me say, oh, here comes a Southwest Airlines jet flying directly overhead, heading straight south, going right over us. The landing gear's not down, but it is pretty low. Wow. Oh man, just directly overhead. Oh, now they're banking. Oh, okay. The way they banked, it was very mechanical. I would be surprised if it wasn't an automatic thing. It was like, okay, turning to the right, turning to the south. All right. Oh, there's so much news, not enough time. So there's a lot of stuff. Oh, many slums appear to have disappeared in New Delhi. I thought this was kind of neat because just like anywhere else, a lot of places, things disappear when big events are happening. At least 49 demolition drives were conducted between April 1st and July 27th, according to the minister, but authorities deny action is aimed at beautifying the city for G20. So, 49 slums were demolished, but we promise it's not because we're hosting a big summit here. We promise. Also, speaking of airplanes flying overhead, Delta Flight had to make a U-turn over a diarrhea incident. You don't want to hear that when you're talking about flights. A Delta flight from Atlanta to Barcelona was forced to turn around because of what the pilot said was a biohazard issue after a passenger had diarrhea on board. Flight 194 was 2 hours into its journey on Friday evening when the pilot reportedly asked to head back. In audio posted to Twitter, he said a passenger had had diarrhea all the way through the airplane. The plane was clean and flew to Barcelona the next day. We've had a passenger who's had diarrhea all the way through the airplane, so they want us to come back to Atlanta, says the audio recording. In a statement to the Insider website, Delta confirmed there had been a medical issue on board, which meant the plane had to return to Atlanta and be cleaned. Delta Flight 194 from Atlanta to Barcelona returned to Atlanta following the medical issue. Can you imagine sitting in an airplane for at least 2 hours with just shit all over the airplane? Oh my God. Imagine if they hit turbulence. What a mess. What a terrible mess that would be. An added bonus, another story that I read over the weekend, a couple of guys were hassled and escorted off of the plane by police because their assigned seats, someone had thrown up in them, and when they landed they didn't have time to clean the seats, so they just like took packs of coffee and tea packs and tried to soak up the vomit that way, and then wanted them to sit in the seats, and when they wouldn't sit down in the seats, the stewardesses called the police and had these guys hassled. Anyway, airlines, good luck if you're flying. Whew. Oh, here's a death story we didn't cover. This is sad. A Massachusetts teen has died after eating a spicy tortilla chip. That's right. The little dab will do ya. A 14-year-old boy from Massachusetts died unexpectedly a short time after he ate a particularly spicy tortilla chip, leaving his family grieving and searching for answers. Harris Woloba died on Friday after Friday said a statement from officials at Worcester Public School District, where the boy was going to school. His cause of death hasn't been determined yet as of today, but his relatives fear complications from eating an extremely spicy chip from the manufacturer Pocky were a factor, according to an online GoFundMe, to benefit the family. The campaign's organizer, who describes herself as a cousin of Harris, wrote, "The pain our family is experiencing is unimaginable." Pocky didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. The company promotes a one-chip challenge and invites consumers to publish videos of themselves on social media eating a product derived from two of the world's hottest peppers. After eating the chip, he felt sick and he went to the school nurse. The school nurse called his mom. They took him home. And then when he got home, he started to feel a little better, but then he passed out. He was going to try out for the basketball team. So they got back in the car to go back to school. And when he was going to go back to the car, he passed out. And they took him to the hospital. He was pronounced dead when they got there. Ugh, we've only got about 3 minutes to go. So I want to be sure, if I haven't said it yet, please stick around for the Dubious Skulls Committee with Toe. It's a fantastic show, and it airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. So you want to stick around for that. I cannot imagine sitting in recirculated poop air, of course. Ugh. Alrighty. Well, what's our last news story going to be? Let's see. Let's talk about the space. Here, I'll give you a rundown of the space news, because there was a bit of it. The Chinese Series 1 rocket reached orbit with first sea launch. Chinese Galactic Energy conducted its first sea launch early Wednesday, also marking a ninth successive launch for the successful launch for a commercial company. And this is... It's Wednesday there. It's today here. It's Tuesday here. Anyway, aboard were four satellites for Guandian, a commercial firm. So it was a commercial satellite launch. Additionally, China had another space story. Chinese scientists have proposed a solar system-wide resource utilization roadmap. Chinese space scientists have outlined a tentative roadmap for establishing a space resources utilization network stretching into the outer reaches of the solar system. China's main space contractor and the Chinese Academy of Science have both put this together. It was proposing a roadmap for space resources utilization. And so the initiative is titled Tiangong Kaiwu and takes its name from Ming Dynasty scientist Song Yingxing's work, The Exploitation of the Works of Nature. It proposes developing strategic mineral resources, utilizing off-world water ice for fuel, creating transport and supply nodes, as well as establishing a space resource development system. It's not an approved government plan, but an indication of some of the current thinking on long-term visions for space exploration and exploitation in China. And the plan goes to 2100. There we go. It's the end of the road, buddies. Our Crew 6 did return to Earth, so
that means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Dubious Goals Time coming up next with Tobe. 7.